Oh, shit. Amen. Welcome to episode 90 of Praise the Blimp Podcast, the podcast that digs through the gaming trash so you don't have to. What up, boys?
Only part of that was accurate. We're not talking about
I just
blimps.
Threw like a fucked up word in here and there. That's like the way I generally.
I appreciate blimps, but anyway, that's not what we're about.
Yeah. As usual, I'm Andy Burrell, joined by my brother Screet.
Pete Burrell, yeah.
Pete and Nick Maltis. We're here today to talk about video games like we always do. It's episode 90, boys. We're getting up there now.
Yeah, we are.
Episode 100 is on the horizon, but Pete pointed out to me that's actually about like 5 months away, given
it's
our current
five
schedule.
Months? Yeah.
So if you guys make it to episode 100 with us, maybe we can like go to it. Let's throw a card down. Let's have our 17 listeners come out and fucking drink with us at a bar or something in the city.
Yeah.
If you're in New York, you guys should come through. But anyway, we're here to talk some bullshit about video games. Like I said, we've got a normal episode lineup for you. Like usual today, we got What's Loaded Up, starting it off, where we're going to talk about what we've been playing, which, to be honest,
absolute trash.
Is pretty much nothing.
Nothing.
And then what's on deck? It's going to be a nice light episode. It's been a kind of like a slow gaming 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Couple things coming out in the next couple weeks that we'll talk about. And then the topic of the day, we're going to talk about Last of Us 2's new release date trailer that showed at State of Play. Honestly, it's like the only thing worth talking about from there. So like, we're going to talk about that shit because it's a big game.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do some Trash Compactor. The only game that Pete's been playing recently is the new Mario Kart Tour game, which is on mobile devices.
Yeah.
That's a new Nintendo bullshit ass fucking 9x16 Mario Kart game.
We'll talk about it on there.
And then also Call of Duty, we're going to mention the Spec Ops mode. We're just going to shit on it. So just wait and get pissed with us later on. But other than this bullshit podcast, how have you guys been this week? You saw Billy Joel last night?
Oh, yeah, Billy Scroll.
Yeah, Billy Scroll.
And it wasn't drunk at a bar in Oyster Bay like he usually
is.
Yeah,
he didn't smash into anybody with a motorcycle. I was telling Allison when they put the lights down, like how funny it would be if you just heard motorcycle revving and he just like fell off the balcony onto the stage.
Did he enter the stage like the Trials Rising guy? Like he just smashed into his keyboard on a bike?
Nah, he was just chilling. He was there and the lights came on.
But it was just like regular Billy Joel.
Yeah, he shouldn't stand anymore.
Kind of shaky.
At all?
He shouldn't just used to change.
What does he look
chain
like?
Him to the paint. He put on weight. He can't really walk anywhere.
He looks how like old is he?
He looks like old Diglett.
Like, he looks like old Diglett.
Old, like a little.
Old crusty Diglett. All right.
You had to make it gaming related, so I understand where you went with that, but like, what the fuck, Pete?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we grew up in the town next to where Billy Joel resides, so I feel like we've, like, in our area, we. Everyone has their Billy Joel story. Like, oh, I saw that boy in a parking lot.
It's a rite of passage.
Or like, oh, I saw him, you know, fucking crashing his drunken motorcycle into a pole or something. Like, you know, everyone knows. Everyone knows that boy's around. But yeah. I guess he can't even walk anymore. He only motorcycles. Imagine he sat on a motorcycle while playing piano.
I hope he does someday.
Sideways.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably been done before.
I don't know.
That's great.
But was it a good show at least?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. He played well. He still got it in terms of singing and piano playing for sure.
Nice.
Everything else pretty, it was standard. You know, he does that show at MSG once a month, so it's like
he's got a residency.
Oh yeah. I didn't even know that. Actually. Yeah,
it's been going on, boy.
What did you think of MSG? Because I was there this week as well.
Since the renos,
yeah, it's kind of better now, right?
It's better. Yeah,
it's tight in those hallways, though.
Yeah, I don't even. Every time I like looked at anything remarkably, like even closely related to Ranger stuff, I made a comment. Mm. I started to piss off Allison so bad. I was like, oh, Rangers fans have to do this every time there's a game. This sucks.
Wait, is she a Rangers fan?
No. Just I was getting triggered as an Islander fan.
Well, I was there for the preseason game to see the Islanders play the Rangers, which we did lose 2-1. But, you know, it was fun to just hang out, drink some beers, and watch some preseason hockey.
Yeah.
You have to go up high to get into the nosebleeds, man. Holy shit.
Yeah, you got
to
take a Vader for like 30 hours. But then what's funny about it even when you're up there, the view's really good.
They're good, yeah. They make sure you can see the ice from anywhere.
Because it's wide, the arena. So, like, if you go to Barclays Center, I went to a playoff game last season for the Islanders.
Yeah.
I felt like I was, like in a cartoon. That's how high up I was looking. Wait, down
was,
straight onto
the ice.
Is that
the one that I was at, too?
No, you didn't go to that.
I went to one.
You went to the Coliseum.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking about Barclays. Barclays was insane. It's vertical. But when you go to MSG, you take, like, 30 elevators. Yeah. But you're still, like, we were in the 200 section, and I could see everything very, very well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I liked MSG. It was fine. They had some decent beers. I'll probably go for Islanders games when they play there, just because it was $20 and it was like, why not just get some beer and
cheap
chill.
Seats.
But anyway, I did have an adventure afterwards. Pete, what are you, have you had anything remarkable happen to you this week?
I had jury duty for the first time this week.
Oh, wait, did you actually go?
I went. I
thought they didn't call you.
They summoned me to go.
And they said you were racist and you weren't allowed.
No. But I didn't,
you know, that's a legit thing, right?
I didn't get selected. I was on the panel for questioning and stuff, but I didn't get selected.
Oh.
Because honestly, this case was very similar to something that happened to our dad and a family friend of ours. So I made sure to let them know that.
Was it a vehicle, like an accident?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And personal injury, stuff like that. So I didn't, I don't have time for this show.
Were the lawyers Cellino and Barnes?
No.
Injury attorneys?
I don't remember their names.
888-888.
That
would have
been fucking hilarious. So you got called for jury duty on a case that someone is being represented by Cellino and Barnes.
I
would have made sure I was on that jury.
I would have made sure.
That's what I'm saying.
But I haven't undergone this process before, and it's such bullshit of people bullshitting excuses, including myself, kind of.
Oh, I would do the same thing.
Like, literally, there's this old man who, before the questioning even began, was like,
I have diarrhea.
He said, I'm prejudiced.
No, really, yeah.
And was like, why should I be judging this accident? I wasn't there, and like all this stuff. And there are just many people who made their opinions known.
I mean, that's what I was saying.
And disqualified themselves.
Exactly. You become opinionated, and then you don't have to do your duty as a United States citizen anymore.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a case that wasn't like, I'm not going to go into details, but this seemed like a case that was like very obviously in one direction, and it would have been more than one session of me going. It would have been like 3 days next week and then like another one for doctors, and I'm like, I don't have time for this shit right now.
Ain't nobody got time for that, Jerry.
Ain't nobody got time for that, but anyway, I wasn't chosen, and they said, all right, see you in 6 years. So,
all right.
Oh, wow. You're
well,
good. You're good. Yeah. I would just throw the healthcare excuse out, and that gets me out of most things.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, there were several.
What's that mean?
I'd just be like, I work in a hospital. I can't be here.
Yeah.
Oh, like you legitimately can't.
Yeah.
Like, I have emergency responses. Like, I can't be here.
Yep. Yeah. And that's legitimate. That's it. And then also, people, like, a couple people got disqualified.
I'm in the library. I can't be here. Sue needs that cooking book so bad.
No, but straight up, I run programs that if I'm not at the library for it, it would get canceled.
Yeah.
So
tell them that you're a civil servant and the children wouldn't know what to do.
I mean, part of this whole thing, if you're trying to get out
of the children,
part of getting out of jury duty, which, by the way, I mean, is an interesting process.
A skill.
Extrapolating like the importance of what you do on a daily basis and beefing it up a little bit.
Yeah, beefy.
But anyway, it was interesting to do.
I don't know if I want to get into what happened to me after I went to this Islanders game, so maybe we should just move on at this point. We're 8 minutes into talking about fucking jury duty, so why don't we talk about the games we haven't been playing this week?
All right.
Okay.
What?
Ow! What's lonely now?
I haven't been playing.
So not everything
Astral
on
Chain.
Here.
I haven't been playing Astral Chain or Dragon Quest Builders, which I bought.
We've all been playing games that are on our normal rotations, and we think, you know, why not? Sometimes we're not going to be purchasing every game every week, so let's just talk about like what we've been playing that's normal and we usually play.
Yeah,
Nick, we actually had a funny moment in our Discord this week. Pretty much, essentially every weekday, at around 5 o'clock, give or take, I'll start hitting up our Discord and I'll be like, how it starts, with a question mark.
Yeah.
And then I'll tag Nick and I'll tag Mike. And then we just go on from there deciding if anybody is around to play Rocket League, but basically not saying anything to do with Rocket League.
It's just this summons.
Just
like,
this
like,
weird lingo of just like, y'all want to fly? Like,
as if animals in the jungle were like coming out of the woodwork.
And then last minute, on the final hour, me and Nick will be in a lobby in Discord and then waiting in Rocket League. And then you'll see like, oh shit, from Mikey, from Roly Poly Chody in fucking Discord. Yeah. And then he'll enter Discord and finally we'll be able to play. but yeah, I mean, what's been going on with Rocket League? We've just kind of been playing comp the season a lot.
It's been the ritual.
You guys are still Diamond 1 right now.
Yes.
I am about to be Plat 3. The grind has been the struggle with Plat 3. I was in Division 3 for so long. Finally, I'm Div 4, actually. So I'm actually on the brink of becoming Plat 3, finally.
Don't jinx yourself.
They have,
we'll see.
They have seasons for Rocket
They do.
League, right?
Yeah. That's why I want to get to Plat 3 before now, the before season the ends. Season ends.
Yeah. Oh, we got a while. Season...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We got some time.
Okay. But yeah.
The game's been fun, man. It's been fun.
Well, it's been fun, but talk about those fucked up servers and those Smurfs, huh?
Since the update... the last update with the newest Rocket Pass, I don't know what they did, but people were complaining about server stability, and we've had it happen multiple instances to Andy. Just, I don't know, like every
game,
3 minutes or so, you get a spot of bad ping for like about 5 to 10 seconds, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, he's gone, he's coming back.
And it'll usually either happen on a defensive play or a kickoff.
Just the most important.
Aspect. Where I just don't know where I am.
Kickoffs in particular.
It happens a lot.
Yeah, it's annoying.
And it has nothing to do with my internet connection, because I know I have solid internet. Nothing ever else lets up on any other game. It's just these Rocket League servers.
But then there's Mikey. But then we can't talk about Rocket League without talking about Mikey and his laptop.
Guy. This fucking guy,
Mikey,
he's literally playing on, like, I don't even know, this thing, it melts down now.
Yeah, but it's not even...
He's gotten to the point where now it goes into hibernation in the middle of playing Rocket League.
I don't understand. He has a good laptop. Like, it's pretty decent.
Yeah, but at this
point... Rocket League is not a taxing game to play.
It is a little bit.
Really?
It's not optimized terribly well, Rocket League. You'd think it would be better.
Well, then that's trash.
Well, I mean, I just turned all the settings down normally, and most people do, but... I don't know. Rocket League kills Mikey. Well, anything kills Mikey's computer. I don't understand. Like, we'll be like 2 minutes into the game, and then like the computer will just, it went to sleep.
Why?
And he'll just stop. We'll be like, Mikey, you got this. And he's just sitting in net. And we're like, oh. And then the ball bounces off his hood and goes in. We're like, uh-oh. And then he's just, you just hear noises. He's out of Discord. He's offline. He left the party. But then all of a sudden he'll be driving again. We'll be like, wait, is he here? And then we won't hear him in Discord. It's just, there is a lot of problems with that boy's life.
It's an ongoing saga.
If anyone wants to donate anything to do with PC, please, or computer.
In the arms of the angels.
Exactly. Let's put that laptop to rest and finally get this boy a real PC. This shit's a fucking joke. We let the floodgates open for the memes, too. Yeah. We were too nice,
Mikey,
to Mike.
Mikey had a pass for a while.
For a long, way too long.
Yeah.
For years. And now we're just bombarded.
Every time you at Mikey, you must tag a picture of like a computer blowing up or a PC or something.
Yeah, that's the new etiquette. So,
Andrew, anyway. What about you? What have you been playing?
Because
I know you and I played a little bit of Overwatch.
Yeah, so I actually was when I was talking to you guys earlier before, I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to try and beat Fire Emblem so I can fucking talk about it on the podcast.
Nope.
And no, I played so much of it on the railroad. I played a bunch of it last night. I played it on my commutes to work all week. You know, like I was out here, I was trying to fucking beat this game.
Yeah.
I'm so far now. Like, I think maybe I'm like two missions away, you know? So I'm like, I'm just trying to get
I mean, you chose a different house than I did. So I don't know where you'd be at, but I'm just trying.
I'm 55 hours in.
Okay. So yeah, you're getting there.
Yeah.
I'm getting there. I finished the game at like 55. So.
Yeah, should I spoil?
No,
is it a spoiler?
Don't.
Should I talk about what I've been doing?
No.
You know what? We'll talk about that more.
Talk about it when you actually finish the game.
But actually, this is funny. So, a buddy of mine who I'm writing music with, he let me know that he got Destiny 2 Forsaken for $25. And I was like, and knowing that Mikey has talked about it with his brother Chris, and I'm like, all right, should I go back into Destiny? He was like, yeah, $25 gets you the season pass for Forsaken, Destiny 2, and all of its DLC and everything. So I bought that on PS4, and I played it a little bit.
Well, I mean, the good thing about this is that they have the account migration now.
Yes, exactly. That's cool.
So like, my character on PC, I was able to put that onto PS4
but
also.
What's fucking hilarious is that I brought over my character that we beat the game together, us three.
Yeah.
And I fucking brought over my character. I think the light level is like 220 or something.
Yeah.
And the max light level now is 700 something.
Oh my God. So you're back to trash.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So me entering the game was hilarious because it was basically like, what the fuck is this game anymore?
Honestly?
I had no idea what I was doing. There's so many new planets, so many new NPCs to talk to, new missions everywhere. I don't know shit.
You know how they give you those free vouchers, like level up your character to the...
Yeah. They do that for Forsaken.
What is that though? Like 300 or 400 or something like that?
No, I don't know. I think it
brings probably beyond where we left off.
It is. It's way beyond that. It's
which is kind of depressing.
Forsaken. It's like, okay, take your character to whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm.
I don't even remember that game anymore.
Me neither. But you know what? I got it up because I know Mikey and Chris need a boy for their raiding team, and also my friend Andrew has never done a raid, and I'm like, what? We gotta
fix
that.
You need to know people, bro.
You gotta, I know, but like, you know, you can do fire. You can do fire chat or fire teams or whatever on Reddit.
Yeah.
Fucking Vito.
Not everyone likes to find randos on the internet.
I know, which is fair. So I guess I'm gonna try and do that. But
yeah, Scrota's revenge.
Yeah, Scrota's Revenge.
That's classic.
Well, Shadowkeep is coming out soon, which is like the new fucking thing that's coming out.
And the game is going free to play other than Shadowkeep.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you didn't have to buy Forsaken.
Wait,
Osiris and the other DLC are all going to be free.
When is that?
Let me look.
Are we gonna go back? Is this a thing that I'm gonna have to migrate to now?
What, to PS4?
What the fuck?
I mean, that would be cool. Hold on.
But like, nah, though.
Well, it makes sense to me.
I had this revelation today too, when I was talking about it with Mike. I was like, I should have just bought some plat and played Warframe. I literally was just like, I was like, yeah, Destiny. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Wait, though. You know, there's only 2 raids. Mike said there's 2.
Really?
Still?
I'm like, how are there 2 raids like 4 years into this game's life? It's not 4 years. It came out like a year and a half ago.
I would say, when did we play it? I don't even remember. Yeah. I don't know. But
I think it came out like a year and a half ago.
2? There's only 2 still?
I think so. But apparently the Forsaken one is really good. And they did this thing now where you can do like raid, I forgot what he called them. They're like basically parts of the raids. Also, they added another thing that's like PvPvE, where it's like you do these bounty things where you're trying to get the loot before another team can.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems interesting. We'll see if it's any good. But if you guys want to come back, I'm down.
Anyway, I don't know if it includes the DLC. I think it's just...
I still have my Mita multi-tool. Like, I have some cool shit from our run on PC.
From the days.
Bungie is launching a free-to-play version of Destiny 2.
So smooth.
I know.
PC.
I'd prefer to play it there. Like, if Mikey gets a PC, I'd kind of want him.
It's called
again.
Destiny 2 New Light, and it's just the base reality of it, and that's for free.
Base reality.
I mean, they already had it on PS Plus, right? So...
Yeah, why would you get it then? There's no point of that.
Hey, I have the license on it, so I could migrate.
Yeah, although... yeah. Never mind, it doesn't matter.
All right, well, why don't we do that? Because that would be fun. There's like nothing out right now.
I mean, I'd play.
All right.
Maybe.
So maybe we'll figure that out. Pete, your only loaded up is Mario Kart Tour, which we're saving for the trash compactor.
Yeah, I'm saving the shove it in the trash.
Yeah,
oh, you want to take that thing and put it in a hole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I had to check it out.
Whoa, out of curiosity.
Yeah. I was actually kind of excited about this.
Kind of excited.
Because it's just like when Nintendo doesn't often drop a mobile game, and the last one was, to my knowledge,
Magikarp Jump.
Well, actually, what's awesome is we did get a code for Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to play that. We didn't have time this week to play it, but we are going to be playing that and then either doing a review or just talking about it on What's Loaded Up soon.
Yeah. A code for which?
I added it to our Epic Games store login.
It's on
PC.
It's on PC. It's an Epic Games Store exclusive. Gotcha. And it's also on Switch, too.
So check that fucking Angry Goose out and just like have him cause mayhem around the world.
Yeah.
I like that. That game's getting a lot of good press. It seems really fun. So I'm excited to try that one. All right,
that's quirky.
We've not been playing anything, obviously.
It's another one of those quirky indie games that I like, though. Like the one with the donuts and the holes.
Yeah. Donut County.
Yeah.
You did a review. Anyway, what's on deck, guys?
So this
past Friday, it's Saturday, September 27th, at the day of casting right now. Yesterday, Dragon Quest XI Definitive Edition came out on Switch. We missed that on the release dates last week.
You're gonna play immediately after finishing Fire Emblem.
It's supposed to be incredible.
Whoa, it's supposed to be amazing.
Second of all, I love Dragon Quest. We grew up playing Dragon Quest on Game Boy.
Oh yeah, what was the last Dragon Quest game you played?
I don't even. Oh
remember. Shit! Was it 7? Are you shots firing right 7? Now?
I don't know. I played the Dragon Quest.
Have you seen what this game looks like?
Do I have to put Pete through a table?
Monster ones were fun.
Imagine the podcast ends just hearing Pete go through a table and then just like an abrupt end.
Just a snapping noise.
I think this is the newest one, right? 11?
Yeah, it was the one that was in Japan exclusively for a while that they ported over, and it's reviewing really, really well. It looks awesome.
I think Ari played it.
Yeah. Did he?
Yeah, he really liked it.
Did he get the Japanese version?
I don't know.
And then just put subtitles on? Because you could import it because the Switch isn't region locked. I was thinking about doing that at one point, but I waited, and so now I'm definitely going to pick it up. Pretty much just, I feel like I'm just completely skipping Astral Chain because I'm like drawing out Fire Emblem too long, and then now Astral Chain is like, am I going to play another like 60
really
hour?
You should have finished Fire Emblem like a month ago.
I know, that's just how I am.
and then continued on to Astral Chain.
I'm playing like Counter Strike and fucking Destiny 2.
I'm in a worse place. I've been like reverting back to playing Red Dead Online and like Magic the Gathering Online.
Fuck you anyway.
What's happening?
So other things coming out. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep is coming out for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, like I mentioned, on Tuesday, October 1st. That's real soon.
Eat.
So I think the plot of this, as Mikey described to me, is all the bad guys from Destiny 1 are coming back, but in like shadow version in this like haunted, spooky moon.
I hate that. I hate that so much. That's so fucking lazy if that's true.
I don't really know the extent of it.
Yeah, but
so
you get to get to kill Crota, though, dude. You get to kill Crota again.
It's all the same bosses, but like slightly different.
If they just redid the raids and slightly changed the mechanics, I'd be down.
Let me get Vault.
Really?
Let me get Vault of Dank.
Really?
Dank Vault.
I mean, you were one of the people complaining about how there's a lack of enemy diversity in this game.
I don't know, man.
So that's like literally the opposite.
I like
it's
shooting.
Like a new enemy type where it's just like shadow the versions.
The mechanics of Destiny to feel good. And that's it. Like, that's all.
It's like the darkness. It's a crossover with Kingdom Hearts. The darkness is on the moon.
Basically. Excuse me.
What, you good?
I'm tired. Oh. I'm definitely the biggest Ghost Recon fan here. So Ghost Recon Breakpoint's coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC on Friday, October 4th. There's a beta going on right now. A lot of people are trying it. I've seen people streaming it on Twitch.
Is it good?
I don't know. I don't know what people are saying about it. It seems decent enough, but not many people are streaming it. Just a couple. Like Sheriff Eli was playing it.
Oh, yeah. And then Concrete Genie.
What the fuck is this?
Remember the game with the boy who's using like art on the walls? He does graffiti art on the walls and it comes alive and it's really colorful.
Oh.
The collars.
We saw it at E3. It was an E3 game?
Well, I think they did show something there, but originally in 2017, I believe it was Tokyo Game Show. Don't quote me on
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Where they showed it and we were like, wow, damn, that was fucking dank. And then we just haven't really heard much
like,
about
wow,
it.
Damn, okay.
It actually got delayed. It was supposed to come out, I believe, in the spring or summer, and it got delayed to fall.
Okay.
So that's coming out on October 8th.
Should you do me a favor and like adjust your microphone really quick? Because you're talking into the top of it and you're real low.
That's
you just got to lean it up a little bit. Do it properly instead of like
PS4.
You don't have to rush. You're fine. You're fine. Slow down, boy. PS4, PSVR. It's coming out on Tuesday, October 8th.
What up?
Yeah,
there you go. You get them colors in your eyes.
Let me hear that voice.
Hello.
There you go. Now I can hear you properly.
My name is
Screep. So those are the things coming out. We'll probably play none of them. Thanks for listening.
realistically, I'm not playing.
Should I buy Dragon Quest for the plane ride? I'm going to Minnesota tomorrow.
You should, 100%. So plane ride's what, 4 hours?
It's 3 hours.
3 hours? Okay. So fucking get that. Have you seen screenshots?
I've seen it. It has your classic like Japanese like weird ass attacks too. I was looking up in it.
You see them slimes? Dude?
Yeah, them slimes, dude.
There's slimes everywhere. It's classic.
The slimes are classic.
Yeah, they're fucking classy. Also, Ni No Kuni's gonna be out eventually, which is like, are you gonna? You trying to?
No, Nick. Or what? Nick already has it on PS4.
I tried it.
But what if you're finna like mobile?
Ni No Kuni 1 or 2? Like,
I think both
about?
Are coming out.
Yeah. I tried. I just wasn't
Walking Simulator.
Wasn't holding my attention.
I wasn't feeling it.
I understand. All right. Anyway, that's our what's loaded up and what's on deck. Let's move on to our topic of the dirt.
Time for topic of the day.
I have a question.
Yeah. What would you rate that kit from last night?
Nick, that's the perfect question. Wait.
Is that what she says
would
in the...
Why you rate that kit from last night?
Is that her question?
Cute smirk from Ellie.
That's how it
Cringiest
starts.
Cringiest opening to any trailer I think I've ever seen in my life.
Ellie and Dina are cute, boy.
Nah.
They're chilling, all right?
Listen,
I get it.
I'm not like a lesbian, so I can't like say, but I felt like the intro to that trailer was pretty whack.
I mean,
what they tried to do. Okay, so anyway, if you haven't seen it, this is The Last of Us 2. Got a gameplay and fucking. Well, it wasn't fully gameplay, but it was like a story and
release date
trailer at State of Play, Sony State of Play. And it opens up with the previous love interest that we've seen in the other trailer, Dina, in Last of Us 2, talking to Ellie.
She's Ellie.
Like, how do you even rate that kiss from last night? And then
it's
Ellie smirks.
It's not what she
the
says.
The intent of this was to set up the
love interest
and the potential loss of Dina.
Yes, because then they go out on a scouting party and Dina assumably gets fucked up.
We don't see.
She gets there's a group of rogue humans.
Yeah, we don't know.
As opposed to the clickers, which are the zombies. So there's a band of humans, like bandit people, who I guess ambush them and take Dina hostage. And then the trailer is like kind of deceptive in the way that movie trailers are, where it's like, oh shit, there's a gunshot, but you hear it and it's like a screen that's black and Ellie's like, no! And you think, okay. And then Ellie is on a revenge mission.
And you see Tommy from Last of Us 1.
Joel's brother. Oh, I didn't even recognize him.
He's out there. Yeah. He's like, well, where you think you're going? But so here's the interesting thing is Ellie, like, several times, like, says, I'm going to finish this, right? And I think that's an interesting line because I don't know, like, what that entails. You know, are the fireflies back? Like, is, you know, are we getting, like, bigger story elements as opposed to, like, a straight-up revenge tale? You know,
I hope so. I mean,
because I think it would be boring if it was just like they killed Dina. We gotta go across the country.
Like, yeah, I think it's a little weak.
Yeah,
in terms of storytelling, when you have literally, I mean, I don't want to spoil for Last of Us 1, but like, you have the savior of like humanity, like as a playable character. You gotta do something with that a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming they will.
No, they will. I have faith as well. Like, I think they held a lot back, even though they seem to have painted the structure of this game. So that's what I'm saying is I hope that underneath there's going to be more than I think, I'm traveling to kill the people that killed my girlfriend.
I think there's definitely more complexity. I think there's some hot, like, kidnapping aspect to it, because remember way back there was that trailer that featured Laura Bailey's character. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and there was like almost a torture scene.
I think this group, I don't think
they'll just be like, oh, we're cannibals and we're evil. Like, no, there's probably, maybe they were Firefly people and they're trying to kidnap people who have immunity.
Well,
to
if
the
they
Clicker
held
disease,
Ellie down and like made her watch somebody get killed, because in the trailer Ellie's like fucked up and she's like smashed and on the ground and then somebody gets fucked up. And we don't know what proceeds after that. Like,
whole thing could be a ploy to fish out Joel. Like, maybe they're trying to get to Joel, because Joel is a loner. We see him at the end of this trailer.
Old man rage. You think I let you do this alert?
I mean, she's like a wild animal in all these trailers. So suddenly she's like, she's going to go kill these people. And then a hand grabs her and's like, no. And it's like, oh, what's she like?
He looked old.
Because she recognizes hand because...
I know that
because
hand.
Up to this point...
Oh, you didn't like that? You didn't like the fact that he just gags her and you're just like, wait, oh yeah, I'm cool with this. Don't worry, it's a joke.
Because seeing her aggression in the rest of the trailer so far, I would think, oh yeah, she would fucking try to stab whoever just grabbed her.
But how is she going to know them hands?
I don't know.
How many times in Last of Us 1 was she like, was it like, Shelly? Like, and he just like put a hand over
I don't
face.
Know. That's why I'm like...
trolling through the through
maybe
the,
it was
the
just
threads.
The amount. Maybe it was just the amount of pressure.
It was his scent, dude.
Yeah,
maybe it was his scent. Yeah, I mean,
he's
like,
old man rage scent.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he would just like, you know, gently put his hand over her mouth, and it was like, I'm friendly, like shut the fuck up, as opposed to like, I'm gonna kill you.
Maybe,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe,
I don't know.
So she turns around. And he's like,
you think? He says, you think I'm gonna let you do this by yourself?
So
and then it ends.
Part of me thinks that Joel is dead, and this is part of her conscience that will be battling with her, like, kind of being like, don't revenge, because revenge is bad. I don't know if that's true.
That's like the story of every anime I've watched.
I know.
I'm really confused, Pete. Like, not confused, but I just don't see that in the slightest.
Yeah, I don't. I think that's like projecting.
Yeah, I think it is.
Like, I don't think it would do well for them to do because
to have killed Joel off screen.
Like, yeah.
Think about the way Last of Us 1 was. Like, they never at any point were like, show flashbacks of Joel's daughter. It's like, you're on the road, this is life, it moves on. Was like the theme of that game. I think,
whoa, dude, did you just...
That was disgusting.
I don't know what just came out of my
Eddie
body.
Just suppressed a demon.
Anyway.
What was your point?
I was going to say, it would be tonally and I don't know, thematically and gameplay-wise, very different if they chose the approach of being like, here's a hologram, Joel.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll do that.
Well, I mean, signature to the first game, too, is how it's two people on a road trip type thing. So if they ditched that and just made it like, yeah, it's just Ellie, that would
be...
No,
they confirmed there'd be NPC companions.
It would be missing a lot.
No.
The thing is now, when people were saying, oh, wow, Joel looks so old. Yeah, he's 60 now.
Yeah.
He was in his mid-50s in West of Us.
No.
100%.
No, he was 40.
Sorry.
No, he was 40.
Sorry. He was in his mid to late 40s in the first game. Now he's mid-50s. So to be in
apocalypse, you're going to look older.
To be an apocalyptic man.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. No issues with what he looked like. But let's go back to the gameplay, because we haven't talked about that yet. They show gameplay a lot. There's no HUD or anything like that, but there is clearly, this is the game being played. It looks... All right, so I have two concerns. First of all, and comments. First of all, the first thing I said to you guys while I was rewatching it before we podcast.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It looks like Red Dead. Like, the first bit that you see is Ellie riding around on a horse in the snow, and it reminds me so much of the beginning of Red Dead, where you're just like, I'm going to ride from house to house and, like, save some rabbit meat for my family. Like, it just plays
exactly how the game starts.
It plays out.
It's your main objective.
No, it plays out. Like, it looks like it's going to be open world, or, like, at least, like, semi-open world.
Yeah.
So I wonder what they're going to do with those big spaces. You know what I mean? Because you're riding a horse. Are they going to make it completely linear with walls, or do you think they'll expand
I kind of want it to be linear. I don't want them to be like, hey, no, it's like open world, just like a Gears 5, like everything. The new version of the game is it's open world now.
I think they'll probably still be linear, but like, so if they're going to take anything they learned from making Uncharted 4, there was one section on Uncharted 4 that was very massive, and you were in a Jeep, and you were allowed to use the Jeep however you pleased.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of like hidden little things you could find. And in a survival game, that probably works a little better because there's a reason, like, hey, this abandoned shack, let me get off my horse and check for supplies.
I think that would be cool.
I think it'll be wide open spaces. I don't think it'll be open world.
There's a way of balancing that. Final Fantasy 15 and 13 are both examples of ways that you can keep it on rails but still have open world elements.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There's actually the gameplay. I don't know how many people aren't talking about it, but there was like a gameplay demo that was done at this event too.
Yeah.
And it looks very much, and the way I would love this is that it looks very much like Last of Us 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar. But I think, so my other concern that I was going to bring up too, and I don't know if you guys feel similarly, is like in a game like God of War, I really liked that game, right? But one of my biggest gripes was that I felt like there were just a lot of animations that were super repetitive, and I think you guys agree with that.
Yeah.
And I'm worried, like, they show all these things happening to Ellie, like, a dog jumps on her, a dude jumps through the window and grabs her, things like that, and I feel like I worry that sort of, like, something's popping out and I gotta mash X to get it off of me is gonna be, like, the whole game, and I really don't want that.
It's my impression that there will be a lot of set pieces that become cutscenes, but you will walk into it rather like God of War. But yeah, I mean, back when they first unveiled the game, didn't they mention that they were having a lot of reactive physics with the environments, particularly?
Because everyone was making a comment about that shot when Ellie gets picked up and thrown through the glass divider in that like supermarket.
Yeah.
So we're probably gonna see, like, if AI recognizes player near glass thing, throw through glass. We're probably gonna see that a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean,
moments that will be you won't be able to know if that was supposed to be like a semi-scripted moment. I think they're going to blend the lines like Red Dead 2 a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I think Red Dead 2 and actually Last of Us 2, at least from what I've seen early on, are going to be very comparable in very specific ways that they handle gameplay and storytelling.
I guess the optimal way to have a narrative game like this would be to have a cutscene or scripted looking moments happen almost anywhere on the map reactive to the environment. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say somebody's supposed to ambush you and has dialogue while he's, like, attacking you. If it could happen at any point of the map that you're at, and it would react to the environment. That's what I would hope. He would still yell at you and say the dialogue that he needs to, right? But the position of where you are would change how it is, so that each person who plays the game would have maybe a different experience of how these things happen.
Okay. I mean, we're just spitballing here. We have no idea how this is going to play out. Nick, what did you think of the gameplay? Because I actually didn't get to see that. What do they show?
So they show a lot of improved AI.
Like similar to the first time we saw it?
Yeah, definitely improved AI. You can go prone. Now there's a lot more animations you can do in terms of stealth mechanics. You don't need a shiv anymore to take down a clicker on a stealth attack.
Oh, really?
So you can take him down normally with, like, a regular knife, finally.
Oh, okay.
So that's a relief.
It doesn't break after. It's not a disposable item.
That gameplay mechanic was a little meh. But it shows like an upgrade tree. Not a tree, but like some traits and like the crafting menu briefly. Not really that much different, just much more polished. And some more features, which is exactly what I would want anyway.
Yeah,
like she throws a glass bottle like normal, and you know, like the classic fucking maneuver.
So, dude, I'll never forget the first time I saw that in Splinter Cell, the first Splinter Cell. I was so impressed. It was like someone threw like a Coke can in one of the early levels, and you have night vision on, no one can see you, and you know, you just hear the Coke can and walk over to it. And I was just like, this is, Well, and obviously games now have done that a billion times.
On that point, since there seems to be an emphasis on like the human interaction in this game, same way that Walking Dead ended up becoming, where it's like more about the humans than just the zombies.
Yeah.
There's definitely going to be moments where you can play as Ellie and have the clickers attack humans to your advantage, and that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, did that ever happen in Last of Us 1?
I was thinking about that. I'm sure you could have triggered that at some point, but I think there's even a more scene in it will
the
happen
end when you're in the hospital that don't they, or the
no, there's one in the when you're in the sniper perch.
Yeah.
With the turret. Yeah, and, you're shooting at guys coming up, and then clickers come overrunning the town.
Yeah.
And they all get roped.
That's my favorite part of that whole game, is that scene when Ellie uses the sniper,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the first time she shoots a gun.
Yeah,
that is that part, parts. And it's just like, oh, fuck, okay. And that whole section is actually a pain in the ass. That whole warehouse you have to go through with a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, both times I've played that game, I ran past it. You can run past that whole entire section. If you run through the factory and go down the fucking fire escape, you can get out of there and just skip the
But that's no fun, bro.
Yeah, but it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, those games, actually, Last of Us 1 had a couple of spots where you could do that.
Yeah, the sewer section, too. Yeah. I ran through the sewer section, too.
I've done that before.
I did like 50, I took like 50 times. I was like, I can't kill these guys methodically enough.
Fuck
they just
the sewers,
overrun me.
And then there was that one level where it's just it's a car tunnel. And there's a bunch of cars that are just parked near each other, and it's just a gauntlet of
that's
enemies.
The same part.
Is that sewers?
Yeah, it's the same.
That's
the
leading
sewers?
Up into the end of the game.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That part is fucking brutal.
It's so hard, because even if you perfectly stealth it, there are parts where there is not enough cover, period.
Yeah.
So, at some point or another, you have to resort to combat, and if you don't have the ammo or any, crafting
shivs,
materials...
Yeah.
You just have to run.
Mm-hmm.
And they have those big boys that blow up.
The
and
bloaters.
Shit, and those scroters come running at you and shit.
Well, I did.
I mean, it's fun, but you can run past it.
I did notice in the gameplay, they have the classic, listening through walls mechanic.
Oh,
That made a comeback.
That's cool.
The question
is,
do you want to play with that? Everyone in the comments was like, yo, what the fuck? Turn that shit off. Play on hard and get that out of there.
Yeah,
That's a scary way to play, but it's the most
one
immersive.
Where you can't see
where you can't see through the walls. Yeah.
Well, Pete, you're a fucking bitch, so you're gonna be like,
I'll
see everything at all times.
I actually haven't played Last of Us 1. I only
watched me play
the whole 13 hours or 14 hours.
Yeah.
Which again, I want this game to be under 20 hours if possible.
You want to do it again for this one?
Maybe.
Just watch me play. What if we bring PTG Plays back?
I was talking to Allison actually about it. I was like, you want me to play the first one before the second one comes out? Because she knows a little bit about the first one. She's like, yeah, you can do
that. Hasn't seen it before?
Yeah, she doesn't know how to do
it. I mean, it is one of the best games to watch, and it's a really great story.
Yeah,
it's it's a great 13-hour sci-fi movie. So
it's fantastic.
Before we move on, I had did we ever even mention the release date?
Oh no, we didn't.
Well, that's the big reveal.
Well, I mean, it's good to talk about what was seen too, because now it feels like finally, things are in motion in the industry right now. Fucking Kojima's game just got gold this week.
Oh yeah,
between Death Stranding. This game, the Final Fantasy VII, and then
Sony's gearing up for
Cyberpunk.
A end of a generation.
It's about to be hit after hit after hit.
Yeah, next year
We're about to get slugged in the face.
Yeah, 2020 is going to be like the 2018 or 17. 2017 was the crazy year.
And it's
year,
funny
right?
because it's all early in the year or generally early in the year.
Well, you got.
Yeah.
Well, the release date for Last of Us 2 is February 21st, 2020.
Which is close to those other games.
So you need to finish this game before March 3rd when Final Fantasy 7 drops.
Yeah.
And then you got to finish that before April when Cyberpunk comes out.
Yeah. Those are going
to
be...
I think we're going to have to be heavily regimented. We should all... there will be no calls for Rocket League then. Our Discord will go back into normal behavior.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know exactly what normal behavior is, but yeah.
Well, yeah, normal to our standards is different than most humans.
So just my initial question that you guys butted in on at the very beginning
of
this.
That's our style.
Was, what are our general hype levels for Last of Us 2 right now?
This bumped it up a good amount. I'm not going to lie. I really, really genuinely got cringed out by the beginning of that trailer. Mm. It docks. It just feels... there's a degree of writing where it's, honest, where it's like, oh, yeah, kids would say that.
Yeah.
But it just felt like a really kind of, cringy moment for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not the demographic for that. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not judging what's said. I'm just kind of, and then also the end. The bookmarks of this trailer kind of didn't do it for me.
It was, yeah, I mean, Joel's, I mean? Joel's appearance was definitely...
You think I'll let you do this? It's like, I'm like... you know what I mean?
Fan service.
This is a game like... I guess Kingdom Hearts, that I said it a lot, is just, it just should come out already.
Yeah, well,
I don't need to see anything else from Last of Us 2, you know? Yeah. This is one of my favorite games of all time, sequel, so I'm going to play it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 100% going to play it or watch you play it.
Yeah.
So I'm at the point where it doesn't
definitely get it, Pete, because the multiplayer
is non-existent.
Yeah, I heard that, but I'm sure it's going to come back because so many people liked...
Said that they're focusing on a separate.
I don't think it's going to come back.
A separate project that would have multiplayer similar to first games.
Even then, that'd be perfect because the first ones, a lot of people loved it.
Yeah,
Mikey fucking loved it.
Was like okay on.
I thought it was good.
It felt like one of those modes that was tacked on.
No,
it didn't
feel.
It didn't feel like an in-depth multiplayer.
It definitely needed more to separate it from a tack-on mode. But for being tacked on, they had some brilliant ideas.
Yeah, I think it was sleeper as fuck. Same thing. It was.
I remember the maps
like Metal Gear.
Realm was Metal Gear.
The maps were a little boring too, personally.
Yes,
they were just like there was one where you're just on like that awning. And you're just, it's like a perfect symmetrical thing. And I'm like, I don't know if lanes work in a Last of Us multiplayer.
Yeah.
I would have been down for like a warehouse or, you know, stuff like that.
It was just super tactical and different from other multiplayer games, so.
Yeah. Also with like a, I don't know, with like kind of weighty character design, I don't think that translates necessarily well to multiplayer all the time. That's how I feel like. The characters feel like there's a delay on them in these sorts of games. Like when you stop running, they have like real world inertia.
And yeah, like, but I appreciated that because there's no other games that are like that.
I think they actually
Metal Gear Online had weighty movement also.
I know, but I think they also changed the physics very slightly for multiplayer. I think they tweaked it just a little, if I remember correctly. Like, it wasn't exactly the single-player physics. The characters felt different.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's what we got here in the topic of the day. Last of Us 2 is coming out February 22nd. Maybe we'll be on episode 93 by then.
Just fucking come out already?
Just fucking come out. That's how I feel about
it. Yeah, I mean, this trailer definitely grounds it in reality, because I hadn't thought about it, really, as a game that's ever coming out. And then all of a sudden it's coming out, and it's like, now it'll just be out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, it's coming out, good. But as far as the trailer goes, it didn't do anything for me as far as, like, hype. Because it doesn't have to, also.
No.
You know, exactly. It's like, just exist and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, it's a proven quantity. Anyway, are you guys ready to get fucking angry, pissed, livid?
Yeah, insane? Yeah, those three.
Insane?
That's it?
Well, yeah. What are other words for angry?
Mad.
Oh, yeah, that's the basic one, huh?
But, like, mad is in, like, crazy, too.
Like, oh, yeah, I mean, there's mad means two things.
It's driving me mad.
And I'm also mad.
Exactly.
And,
damn it.
You could also be named Mads, so...
You remember that comment about a table and you going through it?
Yeah.
Bring that back.
What are we talking about? What did he bring us in?
We're talking about Mario Kart Tour, which is the new mobile game from Nintendo.
Even know this was going to exist until somebody was writing about it and I saw it on the internet.
Yeah, me too.
It is a simplified version of Mario Kart for your mobile phone.
Yeah, so and you play it vertically.
Yeah. You use the touchpad to just change your direction
and
click a little bit. And it's basic graphic versions of the maps. I will say, on a basic level, the same way that Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is like a basic version of Animal Crossing, it's like got a little bit of fun to it, whatever. But the piss me off thing about this is the microtransactions.
Well, first of all, I didn't play it, and I read this online. Do you have to pay to play as Mario?
Not that I know of.
No, it's Luigi. It's Luigi.
You have to pay to play as Luigi?
I think they have certain times exclusive characters.
All right, get pissed.
You know, the person who brought that up to me was actually Allison.
Really?
This morning while we were getting ready, like leaving the apartment, like it came up. I was like, I think Pete's been playing the mobile version of Mario Kart, and she's like, don't you have to pay to play as Luigi? And I was like, what the fuck? How do you know that?
I don't know, man. But it kind of shoves the microtransactions in your face right away because it's like, oh, hey, here. So, you know, the pipe.
No, not normal microtransactions. You have to get it out of the way right now that this thing has a monthly sub.
If you want to, you can pay for a monthly sub that amps up your rewards.
There's a $4.99 monthly sub for this game that amps up your rewards, gives you more tracks, gives you more unlockable things.
And yeah,
$4.99 a month to play mobile Mario Kart. Just buy a Switch and play Mario Kart 8. What is this garbage?
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they would add that.
It's a dollar more expensive than it is to pay for the Switch online service a month to play Mario Kart on your fucking phone.
Yeah, I don't like,
it's completely unnecessary.
That's the right reaction. Like, that's the right reaction.
If you see Nintendo's financial statements, are they going to make money from this? Is it possible? Are they really going to make money from this?
Well, who's subbing to this?
That's what I'm wondering.
There's so many kids on a basic level. You think this is where it's exploitative and fucking annoying me. The basic person who has heard of Nintendo will be like, oh, you play Mario Kart? Like, Mario Kart is the base denomination of people's familiarity with Nintendo.
Yeah.
So it's being like, okay, everyone will know Mario Kart and they'll want to play this. So that's the basic cash in there. I don't understand why this sub exists though, because it's completely unnecessary, and in a world of so many subscription services, like the new Apple Arcade one, which is actually like the same amount of money, where you can get a whole bunch of games.
Yeah,
there's no reason to just cash it, like put it all in on one game like this.
No, it makes zero sense.
I think it's relying on kids being like, "Mom, can I spend $5 a month?"
This kind of just brings to a larger trash compactor of just the entirety of Nintendo's mobile games that they've been doing.
Well, they've had misses.
Everything has been a miss.
Yeah,
though.
I don't, like, I nothing really, has they stuck. Hit it out of the park. Yeah, I don't.
I think like Animal Mario Crossing Runner is or whatever. Okay.
Animal Crossing's okay, but the Mario Runner game too had the same thing, where it was play to start is the term now, right? So you can start the game and then you have to pay $10 to unlock the full thing with all the challenges and all the coins or whatever. And that's just like, you know what? Honestly, that doesn't even seem that bad in comparison to a $5 sub. Like, I would pay $10 for a Mario game on my phone. Fine, I'm down for that. But don't bury it under some like garbage. Just make it up front. So as opposed to like $4-$5 a month to play Mario Kart.
What they should have done is taken an older Mario Kart, like Mario Kart 64, or not even. They should have just made this game, made it like you pay to buy it, and then just make it online on your phone, and that's it. Well, I would, if it was a genuinely good and fun game, I would just pay $5.
Yeah.
For it. Well, and that's it.
Here's the thing.
You don't have to buy
the only reason I can see this plan, and I could be completely wrong, is if they're thinking of, okay, this is a game we're going to release, this is the financial structure of what we want to do, the only reason I can see justifying $5 a month is if they want to continuously push updates like a game as service, where they have to be paying employee salaries every month. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it...
Because that $5 a month coming from people is like, where else is that going to go? You don't just bank that. You have to put that towards the team making that game and providing, I guess, new levels. I don't even know, like, what do they come out with, you know?
I don't know where Nintendo's going to go with their mobile games, especially now that the Switch Lite.
They should have just never
done it. The Switch Lite is coming out, so it's like, well, who... You're kind of competing... I mean, yeah, there's other mobile...
They were doing just fine without having this ever. Like, the Switch... There's a reason why the DS, 3DS is, like, the number one handheld ever, because people just like Nintendo handhelds, and they should have just left
it.
Yeah,
just invest resources on your real handheld games.
Real games, you know? I guess the mobile game market is bigger in Asia and other places
or just
as well, like...
continually port some of these games onto your mobile. Just
some
be like,
people
hey,
just
here's
want to have their
Pokemon
device
game.
Have everything. But I personally, I have no problem just being like, okay, I want to play a game. Let me play the real shit on my Switch, and like just go the distance of taking it out of my case.
Yeah,
it's not that bad, you know. It's not that inconvenient. Like, are we getting to the point where it's WALL-E now, where we're all fat fucks in a goddamn like wheelchair?
Yeah,
like just like, oh, I've got to have it on one device, or else I can't do anything. I literally put my hand in a bag and take out my Switch on the train. And it's not like, oh, this is too bulky. It's like, just buy a Switch Lite, you know, like, what the fuck?
And the loot box aspect of it is the pipe for Mario, so you like pull down and shoot something out.
Yeah, that's garbage.
And it's random what you're getting. You're getting a character or like a glider or a car cosmetic. And then each, you very slowly get these coins that you can spend like 800 to buy whatever the,
it's like shitty arcades.
The daily item is, mm-hmm. right? But it takes a long while to get that. And it's, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, I just Nintendo, just stop. Right? Like, just fucking
I will
stop.
Say on a base level, the game is kind of fun, but at
kind
the same
of fun
point,
is not
at the same
to
point,
pay
it's like
$5.
Well, yeah, why would I play this over?
Just pay for the Switch Online service. I can't. It just makes no know. Fucking sense to me, man. It's like ridiculous.
On the other end,
fuck this game. Fuck you, Nintendo.
And on the other end, to include guns instead of family-friendly things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so just to even out the trash compactor and get another thing to throw in the garbage, because usually we just like to throw multiple things in. Yeah. Call of Duty, it's been known that Call of Duty's had the partnership with, and it's, I think it's Activision specifically, yes. with mm-hmm. Sony. So the last, like, I don't have how many at this point, like fucking six Call of Duty games have had exclusive things or timed exclusives for the PlayStation console.
I hate now, that shit so much.
So the biggest one that just got revealed right after the beta for Modern Warfare, which I talked highly of on the last podcast.
People liked it.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's very fun. The latest thing is that the Spec Ops mode, which is like a, I think it's like a defense mode, like kind of like a horde mode or something like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be exclusive for a year on PlayStation 4. Which, first of all, if you know, if you're a Call of Duty fan, you know that these shits come out yearly. Like, why the fuck? You're gonna put this out a year?
Yeah, I don't think that's a good move.
That's an insane move.
I mean, I guess people will probably still... It's not a reason to not get it. I don't think one mode is a reason for somebody who's been playing Xbox Call of Duty their whole life to get a PlayStation 4 just for that mode.
Yeah.
Especially since we're on the verge of the next console generation.
Yeah, I mean, what it points out to me more than anything, though, also beyond the bullshit factor exclusiveness is like... You just give Call of Duty like 2 years between games. Let one breathe for a little while. Support it. Make it like, you know what I mean? And I said this on the last cast that I think it's interesting that this game seems very different than Black Ops 4. Like, I think they can exist in different ways. Black Ops has Blackout. It has the Battle Royale. It has a different feel than the semi-more realistic Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
So just give the fucking game like 2 years without having to be like, here's another one again. Like, I want to play Modern Warfare for longer than a year, you know?
I know.
And I don't want to wait.
I mean, you
I wasn't
you
planning
can.
On getting this on PlayStation.
There's no... You're kind of putting yourself into a box there. I don't think there's any...
No, there's no reason
you don't
for
need,
me personally.
You don't need
not.
To
no.
go on to a new one.
But you also kind of do, depending on server health.
Well, it also depends yeah, how they're like, supporting these games, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, as a service, if you as... I mean, of course, they have different... developers, but is their plan to just continually have a new live service game
I
created
know.
Every year?
I don't know. But
that has
is,
a longevity?
It's also interesting with this one, though, because I didn't... When I bought and pre-ordered it, there's no, like, season pass. This is another game where I think they're just releasing additional content for free and then doing, like, loot box, like, cosmetic stuff.
Well, they better.
Yeah.
They are doing loot boxes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's confirmed.
Yeah. So they're definitely going to be doing, like, some sort of pay to look good fucking mode or whatever the shit. But I just think this Spec Ops thing is kind of garbo because a year is insane when your game's life is... I mean, Call of Duty, I'm sure there's stats out there that the longevity on those games is... I mean, people are still playing original Modern Warfare.
You went back to Infinite Warfare this year.
Yeah, I really like that game. So, I mean, they live longer than I'm saying personally, but I just think it's crazy for a game that's yearly, too.
They live longer, but also part of that is the community that is playing it rather than the developers supporting it. So it's not like... Yeah. It's not like Warframe levels of live service.
Yeah, and
where
it depends
it's like,
on
oh yeah,
quality.
We got a new update or like an Overwatch or anything like that. Max, a Call of Duty game has new actual content updates max 2 years after it launches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just about. But yeah, I don't know. I went back to I had a little bit of like hangover from the Modern Warfare thing, and I tried playing Black Ops 4 again. Just it doesn't feel as good anymore. Like, Black Ops 4, first of all, it's not optimized as well, even this late into its life, so it doesn't run nearly as well as the Modern Warfare did.
Which is funny, because that was the beta for Modern Warfare, and that was better optimized than a game that's been out for over a year.
And it was completely cross-play the entire time, too.
Yeah, that's
insane.
That's a nice step in the right direction for them.
Step in the right direction.
No, I mean, that is good.
It was hard to go back, you know, especially a game that just didn't have familiar guns or anything, and I just didn't really like...
Wait, so you're saying you went, after playing a console beta... Mm-hmm. You went back onto PC and was like, wow, this is not as optimized.
No. I played Call of Duty on PC. I pre-ordered
it
on
also?
PC, I played the PC beta.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, it was amazing on PC. It was really good. And it's cool because if people have mics on console, you can talk to them still.
Yeah.
They just put a filter on it, like it sounds like they're, you know, they're fucking like actual Spec Ops. They're like, hello.
Yeah, but I think we're... This should be the expectation now that there's going to be cross-play and cross-progression. I think every game will be having this going forward. Yeah,
bring it to EA, please, please. If you're going to annualize your stupid sports franchises, stop playing the player bases against each other.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. So, I went into fucking Chell the other day.
Yeah, what's your deal with NHL 20, by the way?
I went into Chell the other... Well, I am playing it. And we were up to the... This first season's over, so the playoffs are open right now. And we were playing in the Rookie Cup. And they just do this thing where they divide the player base into so many subcategories. So when you boot up like the main mode, which is World of Chell, mm-hmm. there's 1v1v1. So it's a free-for-all battle royale.
That's
oh my god.
No, so you play in a 1v1v1 tournament until like the last three are standing, and then whoever wins, wins.
Doesn't sound fun to me.
So you got some players going that way. Then there's drop-ins. So you play with a bunch of randoms.
Mm-hmm.
Either 3-on-3 or 6-on-6. Well, really, with the goalie and whatever. Stupidly named. I don't know why they did that. But so then that player divided even more. Then there's ESHL, which is what we actually would normally play. But then that's also divided into 3-on-3 and 6-on-6. And by the time you get there, who's playing in each mode?
And this is only on PlayStation 4 servers, right?
Yeah, so we were playing playoffs. The game's first set of playoffs publicly, and the wait time was 2 minutes to find a game, which is really long because once you actually do find the game, it's another minute in the lobby before it starts.
Mm.
In Rocket League, we're jumping between matches in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, all right, open it up to every console, put it back on PC, and you actually wouldn't have these crazy queue times anymore.
Honestly, they may have thought about this and said, you know, if people can play our game, but they're not going to buy the new annual version. Why play 2020 when they can play 2019 and have servers that actually work and have people who are actually playing?
So annoying.
So as great as it would be to have it, I feel like part of them may have thought,
yeah.
And this is a conspiracy screet talking right now.
Conspiracy screet.
That it actually benefits them because people are like, well, everyone's going to hop to the new game and the servers are going to be good for that. So it like necessitates buying whatever the new fucking
it's
game
annoying.
Is, which is bullshit.
That's why I thought about it because Andy started talking about annualized franchises. And it's like the same criticism that you throw at Call of Duty is the same thing that I would throw at the Chell, at any sports franchise. Is just let one breathe for a second, put out roster updates, and give yourself a time to develop the next game.
Yeah, just give yourself a little more time to actually make it different. Like, what Mikey didn't get this game this year.
He's waiting. Like, yeah, he's waiting for a sale.
We're dividing now with, like, it's getting to the point now where us as adults are just like, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know. Like, for me, even, this is a year that I would buy it because it's an even number.
Yeah.
And I think I'm good. Like, I didn't play 18 that much. I don't play it, take it as seriously as you guys. I know that's, like, a fun thing that you do with your brothers especially. But, like, I can't get into the annualized thing.
So, if you're like at least like me, I haven't bought a FIFA game since 2016, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm kind of interested in 2020. The new Volta mode actually is pretty fun. I played it in the demo.
Mm-hmm.
So, just treat it like it's biannual or, like, triannual.
I would love to do that, but then especially NHL.
But then you can't can't continue to play it online like you want.
As somebody who likes online modes, it's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Let me do the manager mode on FIFA.
That'll never get old.
But like if you're not an online player, like primarily you like to play couch co-op or something, then honestly, the same way you were saying you can just like Call of Duty games do last longer than a year. You could just wait every 2 years and buy a Chell every 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
Or like a FIFA every 2 years. If your primary thing isn't online, you know? But if it is, I don't know, maybe EA's just, these companies need to prioritize their online communities a little bit more, especially Call of Duty, knowing that that's like the thing about it.
Well, that's why I think it came from the whole idea of the crossplay. It's just like, I just do that. This is going to be like, I guess, mini throw EA in the trash compactor, but they're always in there. So, yeah, like, I mean, different.
We kind of tangented, but I think it's all relevant.
Well, because a lot of what you were saying was just resonating, and I was just checking all the boxes in my head, like, wow, I could say the same thing for NHL 20. Wow, I could say the same thing for NHL 20. And then you hit the crossplay platform, and I was just like, yeah, like, fuck.
Yeah, no, especially with a sports game, you know? It's like,
There's no reason.
There's literally no reason at all. If you can do it with a first-person shooter where players are getting 150 frames as opposed to 60 on console, like, there's no reason why you can't justify keeping them together.
That's why, despite the trash aspect of the timed exclusive stuff for Modern Warfare, this, I think, will be one of the longest longevity Call of Duty games ever.
I agree.
Because it's the first to have such a wide pool.
Yeah, especially ground
PC gamers, PS4 gamers. You're never gonna run into a game for the next 5 years where you don't get a game quickly.
No, I agree.
I highly doubt it.
I agree. I think Modern Warfare, like I said last cast, would be the best selling Call of Duty in a long time.
The Spec Ops mode actually looks. Well, we don't know much about it. We do know it's going to be co-op and like wave survival and like mm-hmm.
I like that shit.
Was it Modern Warfare 2 that had like that co-op mode?
Yeah, Modern Warfare 2 and 3 had it.
And you can go through that like list of like missions. Like that was, I think, the most fun I've ever had with the Modern Warfare franchise.
Nick, did you and I used to play that shit?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Oh, that was
and like
so
the last three, if you play them on veteran, it's like super ridiculous. It's like nine juggernauts are coming at you and it's like, I don't know how to beat these guys. Yes. Yeah. Like that shit was probably my best memories of the Modern Warfare franchise.
And fucking exclusive.
When did that game come out? Like 2009 or something? 2008?
I don't know what the damages are if they're gonna. I mean, there's definitely contract, you know, but I don't think they can change it at this point.
No, no way.
Well, once again, Sony gets all the good exclusives.
I guess if you're gonna
But I mean, once again, fucking garbage exists, and we have to talk shit about the gaming industry and its greed because it's fucking stupid. Fuck you, Nintendo, with your dumbass Mario Kart, and fuck you, goddamn Activision, Sony, with your like Spec Ops mode holding us back. Because honestly, I would have had nothing bad to say about Modern Warfare until you decided to fuck up. And, you know, now you find yourself buried in a garbage pile with the rest of our shit that we hate. So fuck you.
Pour lighter fluid on it.
I like it.
Talk about things that we don't want to say fuck you to. You got Bobby back there.
Is my mantis molting behind my back?
Nah, he's chilling.
Yeah, he's on he's a swole boy. His abdomen is
literal swole boy.
Did we talk about? Yeah, I'm sure we have talked about your transformation into a boy of bugs.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Andrew's head. Well, Squeaks like followed me like because you just. All right, so wait, I'll just throw a marker out there really quick. We're done with the podcast now.
Stop listening. Turn it off.
We're gonna talk about some other bullshit for now. If you care about us, but you know. Transformation into a bug boy. What do you want to hear about it?
I don't know if you talked about it on the cast.
We did briefly, I think. But well, I have like 20. I did the math today. I have 20 mantises in my apartment.
Yeah,
and I have 11 different unique species.
Wow,
which
it's a mantis zoo.
Awesome.
Yeah, like when you ask us like how the week is, like that's the answer. Well, right there.
My week is going home and feeding them and chilling with them because they're cool as shit.
Yeah, they're fun to just watch
and handle and just like chill with because they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been editing video for the guy that got me into the hobby. Partially was this dude Peter from I think I mentioned him before from Bugs in Cyberspace. He lives in Portland. Sold me my first two mantises, and now here we are 20 bugs later.
Yeah.
And I got a fucking goddamn shelf that takes up like a good chunk of my living room that has all my things on
it. Yeah, so you're going on vacation soon, and you're giving some over.
Honestly, I'm really happy that you did follow this hobby behind me because I wouldn't have anyone to do this.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends that keep roaches. They live close by, and they're going to take care of a couple of my mantises. Yeah. But I have like 20 nymphs, like really small ones that are like a little bit trickier to feed. It's not like, oh yeah, a cat, throw some food in a bowl. With mantises, they only eat live prey. So it's like, okay, I got to give you the lids that have area to put a funnel on it so you can shove in some fruit flies and they can eat. And you got to miss them every couple days and stuff like that. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Anyone can do it. Like if I can fucking take care of 25 things in my apartment, like.
Also, I'm like a trash person. So yeah. If I can do it, you can do a good job with Bobby.
That boy's over there. He's looking blimped out. He's gonna shed soon and become an adult. It's gonna be great.
Bobby's a good animal.
Bobby is a good animal. I'm gonna have 5 of those hopefully by next time.
Bobby is a unique spiny mantis individual.
Well, listen,
there ain't nobody like Bob.
All right, fine, fair enough. What's your handle for your bug account again?
Mr. Zorak.
Mr. Zorak.
Zorak from Space Ghost Coast to
You
Coast.
Get a good amount of hits on those videos.
I do.
You blow up with the hashtags.
Because I just use my shitty...
It's funny because we trust Pete with the social media for Praise the Game and we never see goddamn nearly the fucking results as we see
because
on
we
his
don't
bug
have,
account.
Because I can take a video of my mantis eating a fly and everyone's like, oh shit, that's insane, like every day.
Oh shit, that's
insane. It's not like I can take a video of eating Nick's head off every day and then post that onto Instagram.
I'm gonna fucking smash you to this table and get 5K likes in like 10 minutes. Bro.
Yeah, world star.
I mean, maybe
world
that's star, what we should start doing.
Amen.
Fuck you, I mean, legit, boy.
Hashtagging better for us, you fucking bitch. Get us more likes.
So how this came back to the Praise the Game podcast?
Yeah, so anyway, follow us on Twitter @PTG_podcast. Same handle on Instagram at PTG underscore podcast. We're also on Facebook, but fuck Facebook. Don't even go look at us there. And then our personal accounts, our personal gaming focused accounts are PTG underscore Andy underscore Nick and underscore Pete. Go hit us up there. Fucking holler at your boys. You know, do whatever the fuck. And if you're listening on iTunes specifically because it has that rating thing that really boosts us and shit.
Yeah, the fucking algorithm.
Give us the stars like Mario.
What? Mario?
Yeah, you know
it's
how
Mario Shart.
Oh, yeah, it's Mario Shart. That's what we named the episode. I forgot. Yeah, you know, just give us those likes and stuff
yeah,
like
and
that.
They...
You guys have anything else to say before we go away forever?
Have fun in Fargo.
What, oh yeah, wait, you're no. going.
I'm going. No, Fargo's in North
Dakota. I'm going to Minnesota, dude.
It's different... all the same place.
It is. Minnesota is not good.
It's got hockey.
No, Minnesota's nice. If you it's listen boring. To us from Minnesota, I like you.
I've been to Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on a business trip, and I have I have homework to do on there. It's not like I'm like, oh, vacation. What up, dude?
Anyway.
Anyway, praise the fucking blimp. I don't know. I always say blimp. I like it.
Yeah,
praise the Bobby.
Praise the Bob.
Squab.
Let that boy become a man.
He's large body Bobby.
See those wings, boy.
Large body Bobby.
Let me see them wings.
Bobby.
Bobby.